Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. It's a throwdown on Halloween. It's Tuesday, and I'm feeling pretty good. 2 weeks from today, I'll be 62 and feeling great, man. Boy, tell you, health is priceless these days. The Gross Misconduct Podcast coming live from Phoenix, Arizona. Brother, mentor, and a friend of me, Kip Gross, 12 years in the majors. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing, playing a little co-host with him in Los Angeles, 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, let me lay the red carpet, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. Boy, there is a lot of news. Kip, let everybody know how you're doing and how they can get a hold of you, and then we can get into a boatload of stuff today.
Yeah, Mark, I'm doing great. I'm in Phoenix again, and the weather's great here. It's that time of year, so it's really good. So all you snowbirds want to come on down here. Come on, it's great weather now. KipGross.com and BeAGamer@gmail.com is how you get a hold of me. And, yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on right now in sports, so let's have a good time today with it.
Yeah, hey, real fast, a couple emails are coming through. I'll get to one of them right now. Dalen coming in from Chelmsford, Mass., listens to us every week, says, guys, keep up the good work. You want to throw some more news? What about the news in your backyard with the loss of Matthew Perry? Here's a guy that made $1 million an episode on Cheers, had a lot of chances, and kind of, you know, fell off the wayside. Yeah, that's sad. I mean, that really is. And the autopsy report will come out, and we'll find out what he died. And I'm hoping it's not what everybody's thinking it might be, but you never know. Any comment with Dalen out of there in Chelmsford, Kip, about Matthew Perry from Cheers?
Yeah, you know what? That was a great show. And I actually heard something not long ago during the COVID thing. I heard that there was a lot of people that actually started tuning into that because it brought their spirits up because of everything that was going on. So they were watching rerun after rerun. Yeah, Matthew Perry heard that he was having some issues with drugs and alcohol not long ago. I guess he was on some talk show, and he was talking about it just a couple of weeks ago. So unfortunately, it's probably what it is, or just, you know, the organs inside just couldn't hold up anymore. But, you know, what a great talent, good man, and, geez, people
yeah.
out there, just learn from these things and what people are doing out there, and don't go down the same path, because you always got two forks in that road. Take the right one. Might be a little harder, but always take that better one for yourself and your family down the road.
Yeah, Derek Jeter once said that one, just to stay on top. As we get into the other news, a lot of things, and a couple of things last week, and we talked about this in the pre-chat. Man, 30 minutes with us isn't long enough. We just, these guys love us, and we just keep giving it, and we lay it right out there. We're going to play the TMZ here a little bit, but the Dodgers have got a lawsuit going with a couple of stewardesses saying they only hire blonde-haired, blue-eyed young women. And I'm saying to myself, do the Dodger charters only go through the South?
You know what? When I played for the Dodgers, we had the same charter every road trip. You had the same stewardesses on the road trip every time. Every once in a while, you had a fill-in here and there, but that's what it was. The Dodgers and these teams, they just can't seem to keep themselves out of the news, which is really, really – I absolutely understand some of these players wanting what they want. You know, they're big-time salaries nowadays, and they maybe what they can get. But, guys, think about what you're doing. Just like when you send a text or send something on the Internet on Facebook, read that thing a couple times before you hit the send button. And it's the same way with the Dodgers. Before you open your mouth, just think about what you're going to say, because it can save a whole lot for the organization down the road. And right now, the Dodgers, with everything they've been going through lately and getting swept by the Diamondbacks in the playoffs, they should back up a little bit and look at themselves in the mirror a little bit.
Yeah, well, Kelly Stafford, Matthew Stafford's wife, tried to take the news away and keep the Rams out of the spotlight. They got cleaned in Dallas over the weekend. Sean McVay, his wife had, a baby boy. So that was great news out of the Rams till Kelly Stafford came out and went after a rapper who was in the suite throwing C-notes at some strippers, or people pretending to be strippers. So I guess we have a striptease act in the suites at SoFi Stadium. And she said that's not appropriate for people that are paying big money. They want to watch the football game, not this guy throw dollar bills and stuff. Wow, man.
Yeah, like I said just a while ago, sometimes you got to think about what you're doing and if people see it and what they do. I mean, there's just too many cameras around now, too many video cameras, and so if you're going to do that kind of stuff, you got to do it in the privacy of your own home and make sure that it's all private, because, you know, it doesn't matter where you're at, what you're doing out there in the public. Somebody's always got an eye on you now. And with all the street cameras and all the rings on all the homes, it's everywhere. So everybody just be aware and take care of your own self. And hopefully everything will work out that way. But yeah, some of these things that are happening out there are kind of crazy.
Well, the last one, and then we'll get into the football, and we'll also talk about the title, pitching coaches and parks, big one this week, and I know pitching coach is dear to your heart on that one. I'm keeping my fingers crossed, because if Erstad gets that job, he's got to get you in there for the Angels, so we'll keep that one going and keep that flame going. But the Colorado Buffs came into a sold-out Rose Bowl, and you don't see that much many times. And I thought, okay, maybe Dion's bringing the circus to town. They found out it was homecoming. But the Buffs got beat by the Bruins. And then after the game, I guess the locker room was vandalized. And now Dion's calling everybody out, saying cash was missing, jewelry's missing, this is missing. Now, you've been in locker rooms. I've been in those locker rooms to cover you guys. And, it should be a sacred ground for you guys. You know, you see it there, leave it there, don't touch it and stuff. I don't know what's going on, but I'm kind of thinking, why would a guy jeopardize his job by going and rifling through somebody's locker room? But now the Pasadena police are involved in it, Kip, and I'm going to give you the podium to discuss this because, boy, it's a head-scratcher.
Well, Mark, I agree with what you're saying. Yeah, people shouldn't steal. In my opinion, that's one of the worst things you can do on this planet is steal from somebody else, because it's a never-ending proposition. But I got a couple of quick solutions for everybody out there. If you don't want it stole, leave it at home, for number one. You're going to bring jewelry and cash into a away locker room like that. You're already jeopardizing it and just bringing it on, especially when you're flashing gold watches, you know, all season to the opponents and showing them all your jewelry and showing them how much nil money you're getting. But you know what? Playing all the years I played in baseball, pretty simple solution. Everybody came in. They went and grabbed a sanitary. For those people who don't know what a sanitary is, it's a sanitary sock. Used to wear them in the old days on your feet. And you'd grab a sanitary, you'd grab your wallet, you'd grab all your valuables, you'd put them in that sanitary sock, tie it in a knot, have your name written on it. You'd go to the trainer's room, and he'd have a big-ass box in there, and you'd throw it in there, and they'd lock it up for the game. And it was always taken care of. And that's, you know, it's kind of common sense instead of leaving cash and jewelry and stuff in your locker room, especially on the road in California, for God's sakes, with the laws they have right now. So I'm just saying, take care of your stuff. I mean, don't expect people not to thieve you, because when you're flashing gold watches every week and saying, look what we're doing over here, look at all the nil money I'm making, somebody's bound to come in and get it from you, and that's what happened. So do I feel sorry for them? A little bit. On the other hand, you got to learn from your mistakes, and I guarantee it'll never happen again with Colorado Buffaloes and Deion Sanders.
Yeah, I think you sized it up perfect. Anything after Halloween, when after Halloween, crime starts to escalate. People just need money and stuff like that. And you're right. If you're going to go out there and flash it, and you know, into these kind of things and everything, and especially the stuff they're wearing, people are going to take notice. And you know, who knows? You know what's going to happen. And like you said, we don't know what actually happened or anything, but if you're going to bring that kind of stuff, put it in the sanitary sock, give it to the trainer, let him hold it and everything. He's responsible. He's going to watch it. He's a guy you can trust. If you got that thing sitting out in the open, you don't know who the heck's walking around there and everything and stuff like that. And I've told you in the pre-chat, I've seen guys just kind of go up there and try to grab some bubble gum out of stuff. I go, dude, you can't do that. That's theirs. If they want to give it to you, you give it to you. And same thing with autographs, Kip. I've always said that. You know, whenever the media gets in this business or something, you're always going to have that guy, kind of like you guys playing the game. You're going to have that guy say, can I get this? Can I get that? Do you have tickets for this ticket? Hey, listen, I don't even ask for it. If they want to give it, they'll give it. You don't want to ask for stuff, because then it just puts you on a different level with a relationship with these guys. Am I right or wrong, Kip?
You are 100% correct. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I got a call from my dad or somebody in the family that I knew, and they'd say, "Hey, Uncle Larry out in California, or Uncle Dean out in Atlanta, they need 10 tickets for the game when you're there." And I'm like, "Who are these people?" Well, you know, they're distant cousins down the road. I'm like, "Why? Why am I doing this?" You know, and that's exactly what you're talking about. And it's just like you're talking about the bubble gum in the clubhouse. You know, it's not yours. Don't take it. You can ask, but there's a pretty good chance they might get you some. But at the same time, it's not yours. It's not just sitting there. Guys in the big leagues, even though they're in the big leagues, they pay clubhouse dues, and all that clubhouse dues goes towards all that stuff. So it's basically theirs, not yours. And so, we're talking about the sanitary valuables in, and it's just common sense. Put it somewhere safe. I mean, do you put your money in a bank, or do you put it under your bed mattress? And
exactly.
And flash and all that kind of stuff, I get robbed and lose it all. So that's what happened to him.
Well, we had the football this weekend. I thought of you, and now you got me covering your Nebraska Cornhuskers, looking at them, because I know you're going to have to be a camper come Saturday night. And Nebraska looking good. USC went into a slugfest, 50-49. And they're really kind of laying the law down to Lincoln Riley out here. I like Lincoln Riley a lot. He's been, you know, kind of keeping the locker room closed, doesn't want the players talking to these media members. Some of these media members are just selling papers. We've talked about that last week. But it looks like it's escalating. And, you know, these kind of cities, when you get in these big cities, they don't care about the coaches making the big money. They just want to, you know, get the story on these guys. I like USC. I've always said it. We're going to find out next year. Two losses, you're knocked out of the whole thing. Okay, but next year, two losses. If you get in that top 12, you can take out any one of those top four teams. They don't want to face an Oregon, a Washington, a Penn State, a USC, and Alabama. They will be looking over their shoulders next year. Any thought to that, and any thought to the college games this week, and then we'll get into the pros?
Yeah, you know, the college, it's really starting to break down. You're getting some undefeateds now that are losing games, which is making it really interesting. I've always said since day one of the college season, everybody should be ranked number one day one. And you just go by win-loss record, and it all evens itself out in the end. And that's why I can't stand why they have preseason rankings in college football, because it skews the rest of the year as far as where these teams are. You know, you put these teams up there like a Clemson, you know, you put them way up there, and next thing you know, they can't win. Well, now you've skewed the whole ranking system, and then you go back and look at Colorado and TCU to start out the season. TCU was ranked, 16th or 18th in the country to start the season. They play Colorado. Colorado beats them right now. So what do? They throw Colorado up and rank them 18th in the country, when we all know Colorado is one of the worst teams in college football, even just because, you know, the whole hype with the Deion Sanders thing. But it's this week, guys. There's some good games. Nebraska really is going to get after it this week on the road at Michigan State, because first year since forever Nebraska go to a bowl game. And so they're -3 on the road. I got to take Nebraska this week. Have to, because – they got the defense. Matt Rhule's got the defense rolling out there. They're sacking everybody. It's fun watching the defense play. It really is. I know they haven't played great competition to date, but you know what? Competition is competition, and you've got to learn how to win. And that's the one thing that Scott Frost never did. He never got his team to learn how to win. They always lost these close ones. Well, he only lost by, you know, less than one score. One score, one score. It doesn't matter. A loss, a loss in football. And so now Matt Rhule's got these guys believing. The offense is decimated. They only have three starters now from the opening day, but they're piecing together, and they got a lot of turnovers. But this week, guys, take Nebraska, give the 3 points, and let's see what happens.
Oh, no doubt about it. And you know, I miss those games after Thanksgiving, the Nebraska Oklahoma games. They got to definitely get back to those days. Remember those days?
Definitely remember those days. I remember, was it 1996 was the last time that OU came into Nebraska during the all those rivalry games. You know, they played them a couple times here in the last few years, but back then it was just, you know, the Barry Switzer and Tom Osborne rivalry was off the charts. And what was so great about that, Mark, was both teams had such respect for each other. You know, it wasn't like a love-hate relationship with Nebraska and say, Colorado right now. If you drive into Colorado, you know, in Boulder to go watch a game, your car is going to get keyed, might get some flat tires. Hell, they might roll it over. Who knows? Might start on fire. Nebraska, Oklahoma was never, ever like that. There was so much respect for both teams. Barry Switzer always got the better of us in the end. But to make it, you know, when you have rivalries like that, it's just so hard. That's why I didn't like the Big Eight breaking up, because I knew we'd lose those rivalries, and especially with Oklahoma. But, you know, we're back, and now we're in the Big Ten. Actually, it's the Big 18 here pretty soon.
Yeah.
But it's fun to watch.
Real fast, the Steelers lost to Jacksonville. The first thing that comes to my mind is you got to get Jacksonville off the Steelers' schedule, especially when Jacksonville comes to Pittsburgh. They were one of the first team to come into Pittsburgh during a regular season, knock them out in the playoffs in the same year. And now they come by and beat them again, and the Steelers are saying, well, you know, the officials took it away from them. You let a team come into your backyard and beat you like that, it's a problem. The Redskins lost. Your Raiders lost last night, and I'm saying to myself, well, you called it, and you've been calling it all along. Any team can beat anybody, and Denver – you know, knocked off Kansas City. And now Albert from Poway chiming in on an email says, guys, I like this. Keep this thing going. You guys are really good, very knowledgeable of bringing it across the boards. And I think Travis Kelce needs to get rid of, Taylor Swift, because Taylor Swift became a distraction. She wasn't in Denver the other day. I didn't know that, but Maybe Taylor, you know, who knows? You know, that's a power couple, so we're not, you know, I don't know what to say on that one, but I don't know what to say on the NFL either this week.
The old Taylor Swift thing, it's just a distraction, and that's what players and coaches don't like, are distractions during the season, and she was a distraction. The one game, they showed her 18 times on the telecast up in the booth box up there, and you know, it's one of those things where, you know, Travis Kelce, you know, yeah, it's his girlfriend, whatever, but, and I know it's not his fault. I mean, these people should be go do the things they want to do, but at the same time, they're kind of promoting themselves out there too at the same time with this, and dig it, and they're getting paid extra, you know, new commercials and stuff like that. So it's a tough one. You know, it's okay to have a girlfriend, but at the same time, you might want to back off and probably find a spot where nobody can see in the stadium 18 times during one game. But you know what? Travis Kelce is definitely one of the best in the game and one of the best that ever played a tight end position. But like I said, man, Denver Broncos aren't very good at all. But look what they did to probably one of the best teams in football. They beat them. Like I said, any given Sunday, any team in the NFL can do it. And that's why I love the NFL so much.
Last night I can imagine how you were going. You had the ups of Nebraska on Saturday, and then the downs of the Raiders last night. And what a showing in Detroit! I mean, I'm saying to myself, gosh, you got the center stage, you got the whole thing you're playing. And the Lions, to me, you could have kept them in a doldrums after they got pounded by the Ravens the following week. But it's unfortunate. The Raiders now would trek in and. You know, we got the Chargers going to try to even their books next Monday night against the Jets. And this is going to be interesting now, because now we're going to separate the men from the boys in the second half of the season here, Kip.
Go time. You know, the whole thing with the NFL, and you can kind of see this every year happening. You start out the season and the defense is there because the offense just – they don't have all the preseason games now to you know, to get in sync with the receivers and the running backs and all that different stuff with the passing. And then next thing you know, here comes the offense, because they're starting to gel together, and it's working really, really good. And then again, here you're going to start seeing again the offense is going to start slacking off a little bit again, because that defense is going to catch back up to it. And by the end of the season, they're both gelled really well. So you just don't know. That's why I've always said the NFL is so great, because you have the best athletes in the world. The fastest, the strongest, and they just beat each other up, and it's fun to watch every week. But yeah, don't ever take for granted that a Bronco team can't beat a Chiefs team any given week, because they just proved it this week. And yeah, by the way, they were playing a Taylor Swift song after the game was over in the stadium.
Gosh. Yeah, one more thing, and then we'll get into that pitching coaches and Parks with about 10 minutes to go. Next week, minor leagues and money players. That's going to be a real good one. But James Harden, who I say has been in more hotels than some stewardesses, orchestrated a trade to get out of Philadelphia. Now he's a Clipper. I don't know. My whole thing on this, Kip, is character over talent. You get these guys, and I don't know what these teams are trying to change. You know, a leopard can't change his spots, and here's a guy that's been in Oklahoma, Houston, Brooklyn. He wanted to go to Philly. Then he wore his welcome in Philly. Now he's out here in the Clippers. I just can't figure it out. I went and took this guy. Maybe he can put up 20, 25, 30 points a game, but do you really want that much baggage on your team with everybody else in sync?
The first thing you got to ask yourself, how many championships has James Harden won in his career? that might straighten a lot of things out. He's a tremendous talent. There's no doubt about it. You know, Mark, I used to watch the NBA a lot, a whole lot. I couldn't wait until Sundays and turn on, you know, watching the Celtics playing the Lakers or the Celtics, you know, playing the 76ers. Then you got the Detroit Pistons back when. It's just today it's really hard for me to watch because there's just no defense. And, you know, all these records of being, you know, LeBron James, he thinks he's the greatest player that ever lived. But first of all, you're playing against, you don't play defense, and then every time you get touched, you do a little flop like all the soccer players do. They should throw the red card at you. And so the NBA, I really wish they'd get back to somehow making these guys somehow have to play defense, but I guess it's just not going to happen until the playoffs like it has been every year for the last so many years.
Yeah, we had a guy on the XM show, Rowan Lazenby, that wrote a book, covered the Bulls and everything, and he wrote a book on magic. And I go, man, when you looked at the 70s, the 80s, 90s, the basketball, it was fun. I'm a big Bucks fan, but you're right. I can't hardly watch it either. I mean, there's no defense. There's just a lot of stuff going on in today's game. And to me, myself, and I, in a certain extent, yeah, you got the Warriors. You got the great thing going on in Milwaukee with the Greek Freak. But there's just so much drama, it just takes away from it. And basically, in the way that the sport's going, if they keep driving up the price, you know, the middle class ain't going to be able to take kids to the game. And when those middle class end up hitting the nursing home, the kids aren't going to know what's up, and they haven't been to a basketball game. So I don't know where this sport's headed, but give me hockey any day of the week, Kip.
Hockey's. If nobody's ever been to a hockey game, you got to get out there and watch it. And like I said, even besides just the play and the plays on the ice and how much they hit each other and run into the walls and the glass and all that stuff, even in between intermissions, they make it fun for everybody. You know, they bring kids out on the ice and they do different things all the time. It's a nonstop show for the entire hockey match. So, man, they're fun. But on TV, it's a little different. I get that. You got to really be a hockey fan to watch it. But in person, I'll tell you what, anybody that's not even been to or watched hockey or paid attention their whole life, I think they'd have a blast going to watch a hockey game in person.
Oh, yeah. And one of the Penguins minor league guys lost his life, 29 years old, this past weekend. A skate cut his throat. I remember a few years ago, the goalie of the Buffalo Sabres, Clint Malarchuk, was saved, but they couldn't save this kid. God rest his soul, only 29. Hey, pitching coaches, Parks, I know where you're going to probably go with the pitching coaches. I've lined up a few of mine. I'll let you start.
You know, I had this guy way, way back when, and he's still around to this day, and he was actually told when he was with the Houston Astros in the minor leagues that he would never be a major league pitching coach for the Houston Astros because he never played in the big leagues as a pitcher, Jim Hickey. The guy is just tremendous at what he does. And, you know, he lets you pitch. He doesn't try to take control of anything. If you need anything, he'll show you strategies and pitch counts and kind of help you out. But Jim Hickey, to me, was one of those guys, you know, he'd come out to the mound to you if you're struggling a little bit, and he'd just try to calm you down a little bit and say, hey, we're just getting a rest here. You're doing fine. Everything's good. Ron Paranowski with the Dodgers. Around forever. Won World Series. Great pitcher in his own time. And another guy. It's going to be a recurring theme here with me, but these pitching coaches that don't do too much are the greatest pitching coaches out there. That's why they stick around forever. You know, Larry Rothschild when I was with the Reds. And, you know, he was actually the bullpen coach, but at the same time, you know, Stan Williams was the actual pitching coach, but Larry Rothschild, man, he got in there with everybody and talked and the game itself and not just pitching, because you got to learn how to play the game. You got to learn how to pitch according to scoreboard. And that's one of the things that I really, really enjoyed was with all these pitching coaches that I had. They're really good. They taught you how to pitch according to scoreboard. And don't have to strike everybody out. Now let the guy get themselves out, you know, throw it right down the middle. You got a good lead. What's the deal? But today they don't do that. They just try to strike everybody out. That's why you have these three-run home runs when you're up seven runs and now it's back in the game. One pitching coach that I really wish I could have talked to and had was Mel Stottlemyre. Everybody respected that man for what he did over the years and, you know, won championships. And it was one of those guys you just kind of wish you could have got inside his brain and understood what he was doing. Cause you know, he had two kids as pitching coach or that end up down the line. So what he taught all those guys must've been really good. But you know, one other guy I want to talk about here real quick. And I really want to bring him up because he was very influential to my entire career, was Dave Wallace. A lot of guys probably don't know who.
Yep.
Man, this guy, he understood the game. He let you pitch, and he wouldn't tell you much until the game or on the next day at practice or whatever. And those are the kind of guys. I mean, Dave Wallace, Wally was just – he was tremendous. And that's where I got to go with all that. And, you know, sometimes you just don't have the arms on your team to be a great pitching coach. But at the same time, the great ones come out and they teach you something to learn how to pitch. And when you do that, it's not always about talent, but how you pitch and learning to pitch. So those are the top ones on my list.
Okay, you're right. In the last 3 minutes of the show, and we'll get into the parks real fast, your favorite. But I'm going to throw Dave Righetti out there, Dave Duncan, Leo Mazzoni. And, man, oh, man, another guy, Ray Miller, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, great, great pitching coaches then. Hey, favorite ballpark all time, and I know people think maybe Wrigley, Fenway, Yankee, or, Dodger Stadium. Man, oh, man, I'm going to throw Three Rivers Stadium out there. I'm going to be a little biased. I don't know where you're going with it.
Tell you, and you don't like it, but because you're not a fan of the team. But Dodger Stadium, 60 plus years, whatever it's been there. It's the same setup. They made some underground changes that the fans don't even know about. You know, they moved some seats around in the back behind the plate. But it's just a great place to watch a ball game. And you know what? And I'll say this too here, right here in Arizona, this ballpark, guys. So it's my son and I have gone to this park so many times since we moved out here to Arizona, and it's just an easy ballpark to get in and out of. The parking's right around the area, no big parking lots, just smaller ones around the area. And if you have never been to a game there and you get the chance to, you know, World Series going on right now, playing tonight, but just such an easy ballpark to go to. Now, the most nostalgic one I've ever been to, obviously, was Fenway Park.
Yeah. I
played there. Scoreboard back there is just tremendous. They go by the old numbers, put them in the holes and all that stuff as far as the innings and all that. And I was fortunate enough to put my signature in there. And if you ever get a chance to get in that scoreboard, get in there, because the names there, I mean, there's just so many names in that scoreboard. And, you know, pretty much everybody that played the game, especially nowadays back to when, they got in there and they signed and put their signature up there. So it's really nostalgic. Some great
fields
out there.
Yeah. The Fenway Franks, Lansdowne Street. I've been there once, when Billy Martin brought his Oakland A's through there and burned out that old pitching staff, but that's a story for next week when we get into minor leagues and money players. Unbelievable story there. Give me a sure shot real fast before we close it and let everybody know how they can get a hold of you, and I'll throw a quick sure shot.
Like I said, my sure shot this week is Nebraska, because if they win it, it's going to be their first bowl game against Michigan State in Michigan. I just really believe in Matt Rhule and what he's doing with this program, and he's got the defense rocking and rolling. And Harburg is the quarterback. He's not exactly the greatest right now as a sophomore, but he's progressing weekly, and I just hope he doesn't get hurt. But, yeah, Nebraska's my sure shot this week.
I'm going USC over Washington. People think I'm crazy, but I'm going to throw it out there. Hey, Kip, as we wrap this up, man, another one in the books. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you until we reconvene next week. And then in 2 weeks, when we do the show, it'll be my birthday bash.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Happy early birthday right there.
Yes,
KipGross.com and BeAGamer@gmail.com. Mark, I can't tell you how much I enjoy this every week. And, it's better every week, and I really enjoy it. And so everybody out there, tune in. And if you got questions, ask, and we'll answer the best we can. So till next week.
They can't, you know, that old song, they can't touch us, man. We keep tearing it up every week. We keep raising the bar. We keep getting interested. We bring the news into the equation. I can't wait to next week when you'd start breaking down the minor leagues and money players. He's Kip Gross in Phoenix. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. We'll see you next Tuesday, same time, same channel. Check out the replay, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Kip, I love you. Have a blessed one.
You too, Mark, and can't wait till next week. Fans, come on in, and let's have some more fun. This is great.
There you go. Have a good one, my friend.